innovation is not something we often talk about in the agency world because we can get so heads down into the weeds of delivering for our clients that we don't think about our systems, we don't think about the way that we are working or what we're delivering to our clients as opportunities for innovation. Well, today I'm joined by Reed Pfeiffer, who is the Chief Creative Officer at Modern Tribe, an agency many of us know in the WordPress ecosystem, to talk a little bit about how the team at Modern Tribe actually approaches innovation and some of the things that they do to inspire it and make it almost like a systematized thing within their ways of working. So if you're ready, let's get into it. Welcome to Input. Well, thank you so much, Reed, for joining me. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your journey and how you ended up at Modern Tribe?
Yeah, my story, I often think, is very conventional. And the more that I hear other people, I realize we've all got sort of strange ways that we've come to this kind of space, working in an industry that is relatively new. I've been at Modern Tribe for 14 years now, just celebrating my 14th Wow. anniversary this next week. The abbreviated origin story for me, I worked at a small agency. I live in St. Paul, Minnesota. I've been here for a long time. My background's in fine art. I was a printmaker and a barista. I was really like my job and needing to pay the bills. I dabbled in some Flash and some Dreamweaver and sort of stumbled into this industry. And I had one other job, and the story goes, I quit my job, I got married, and I bought a house, and I was just terrified of what I had just done. Like, I made all of the bad decisions, like, right? Not bad, marrying my wife was a great decision, but like doing that in that order was a terrible decision. And I was reading a small business blog, and I left a comment on the blog that was just like, oh man, I am going to fail. And a stranger on the internet sent me an email that was like, you're going to be okay. I looked at your portfolio. You're going to be great. Don't worry about it. And that was my business Wow. partner. We got to talking and I met his other business partner. And now 14 years later, like, here we are, just a stranger being nice to me on the internet.
Unreal.
It was a different internet maybe 15 years ago.
Back when everyone was still happy to be on the internet maybe.
Right.
Well, that's interesting. So Modern Tribe is well known within the WordPress ecosystem as the creators of the event calendar, but you also got this other side that maybe has not been quite as well known for the average WordPress user, which is the agency side. And today, one of the things that I was hoping you and I could chat about is something that I'm not entirely sure is something that a lot of agency people think about when they first get started or as they're gearing up, which is this idea of innovating as an agency. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. So I'm going to start with my own thinking a little bit and then give you the chance to speak into it a little bit. But as I've been doing this work and I've been, you know, doing agency stuff for a decade or more as well, the thing that I have found is that when it comes to agency life, it's not linear. It is cyclical. There are these moments that you have where you make critical decisions that will move your business forward, whether that's in operations or in leadership or, you know, revenue or client management, whatever it is. There are all of these different aspects that as you make pivotal decisions, it moves your business to that next level. And you get to a place as an agency where you get really good at doing what you've always done, but you also maybe hit a cap of doing what you've always done. And there comes that point, that decision point, where you get to make a choice. Are we going to keep going with what we've always done, what we've always known, or are we going to take advantage of an opportunity or jump into something new and something different? I'm just curious to know from you, as somebody who's been doing this agency thing for 14 years, what is your take on innovation in the agency world? And what does it look like for you at Modern Tribe?
Yeah, it's so essential to understanding like how we got to where we are. And I think the first like sort of myth of innovation and agency growth that I guess I feel like a lot of the narrative out there makes it sound like this is all one big carefully architected strategic trajectory. And the reality is, we often like don't know what we're doing. And our agency, like we've gone through a number of incarnations. The agency itself is actually quite a bit older than the events calendar. I think we're 5 years into running the agency, 6 years into running the agency before we birthed the events calendar and that sort of product suite. So the agency itself has been through a whole slew of iterations. But this idea of cyclical growth is very much essential to like how we have operated. We will go through periods of time where our goal as an agency is to stabilize, right? And that idea of innovation can almost like run counter to some of your day-to-day short-term business goals, right? Because innovation is new and it's risky. And if you want to increase your revenue, if you want to increase your efficiency, you get that by building standards, by building consistent practices, by finding ways to do things in a repeatable fashion or making small incremental improvements to the work that you do. That's the opposite in a lot of ways of that sort of innovative spirit. Let's go out, let's invent, let's take some risks. Because inherent to all that risk is the potential to see decreased revenue, increased overhead. And so thinking about our trajectory, it certainly is not linear. It's certainly a thing that has sort of swelled and ebbed over the years. And the thing for us is that our goals as owners of a business were really rooted in like curiosity and being intrigued and having fun and really enjoying the work. And we didn't get into it to necessarily grow the biggest agency or to maximize our revenue. Certainly, like, I'm not above capitalism. I like all the benefits that come with running a successful business and all those things, but it certainly isn't like why we got into it. And so because that desire to like have adventure as part of our core sort of values made it really easy to say, well, okay, we're stable now. Let's try some things that are going to be uncomfortable, because for us, we're not risking anything. We're not gambling on trying to hit that next level of financial growth or any of those things. It gets really easy to say, cool, let's take some shots at something different. You got to be comfortable with that. Got to be comfortable with that idea that maybe this isn't all going to work out in a beautiful story.
I think that's really cool, because, you know, like when we talk about agency life, like that stability is huge. One of the things we've talked about on Input a lot over the last couple of episodes on this train of thought is this idea of creating runway, and that having runway as a business, doesn't matter what business you're in, right? But knowing you've got 4 months, 6 months, 9 months, 2 years of money in the bank, so to speak, to be able to fund your team and make sure that nobody's at risk is one thing. And that's really where you get the freedom to play, yeah, the freedom to innovate.
My partner, Shane, who also sort of acts as our CFO, very early on, we just in our accounting, in our books, we created essentially like an innovation or investment fund. Even just the way that we talk about our revenue, you got to fund the innovation bucket before we have profit. And so putting away that essentially that nest egg and that buffer and that ability to play just became central to who we are and how the business operated. Now I don't even think about the idea of profit until that rainy day fund has been filled. Our reserves, we have two. We have a rainy day fund and reserves. And we have our innovation and investment bucket, which is where we sort of start to squirrel money so that when an opportunity for that kind of experimentation comes, again, it's not at the expense of our team health or any of those kinds of basic goals.
So, okay, so you've got the innovation fund, you've got all of this pre-planning done to set up. That speaks to a culture of wanting to play, wanting to innovate, wanting to risk. So can you talk maybe a little bit about how you decide when is the right time to do an innovation project and maybe some of the things your team does to innovate?
Mm-hmm. I sort of think about it through two different lenses, right? We have the innovation that comes to mind when you just say, what do you think about innovating in the agency space? And for us, a lot of that drives to client work and project work. And we can talk about that in a sec. But the other space where we are also likely to try and innovate is internal process and looking at how we work, how our business is structured. We actually just in February went through a reorg. And to me, that's like one of the most innovative things about our company is not even just the work that we produce, but how we work together, how we structure, how teams function, how work can sort of flow in and out of the business. And that kind of innovation, thinking about the space and how you're built, is part of what then makes a foundation for a team able to then go and do really innovative work on the sort of external side, the client work, the executables. Some of that comes from this idea that like our teams are a little bit weird and how we work is a little bit weird. And that sort of sets the stage for all of that other opportunity. I think sometimes, particularly, it's really tough in small to mid-sized agencies where maybe your margins are really thin and you want to kind of dabble in changing up your workflow, things that have like really kept you safe over the years and you know produce good work. It's really tough to sort of toss that out and say, we're going to experiment or we're going to try some new ways of working in the hopes that it produces better work or more exciting and innovative work. That's a really tough thing to do once you're at certain stages in your growth.
One of the things that you said there really caught me was this idea that innovation isn't always necessarily client-facing or project-facing. It's actually internal and in the way that you approach the way that you work. I think for a lot of agencies, it's maybe something that they're doing without even realizing it. Here's a very simple example. How do you respond to client change requests, right? Day one, it might be an email. Day two, it might be Help Scout or some kind of email ticketing system. Day three, it might be through some kind of automated task management setup that you've got. Those are all stages of innovation, and they all often come out of necessity, right? Where you've scaled up so much that you've got to a place where the existing system isn't good enough or isn't working. It's actually breaking down. So that's one side of it. And I think the other side is the client side or the project side, the user-facing side, where you're actually looking at what you're building or what's going on in a project that you're working on. You're going, actually, there's something here beyond what the client is asking for that we want to explore. I'm curious to hear, like, how does a team like yours capture those thoughts and then filter them to the point where you go, okay, yeah, no, this has legs. We're going to take this forward to the next step.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, I would love to say that like we've got a branded Modern Tribe disruption process that's 8 steps that are well articulated. Because I think that's a lot of what like you see in the industry when I read about, you know, these patented, I don't know, that stuff's all fine. There are interesting nuggets in there, I'm sure. But honestly, I think step one is trying to build a culture where people can screw up and that's okay. And that screwing up or taking a risk that doesn't work isn't inherently tied to failure, and that people have space and the ability to do that and not sort of feel like that's going to be the end of the world. Like people have to feel safe regardless of what process you run. They've got to feel safe and have the opportunity to like take some swings, to say some dumb stuff. I don't know how many like asinine things I've said to a client where I'm like, you know what? I just said that. I take it all back. That's dumb. Like, let's go on. And that's got to just be part of the culture and have that kind of, you know, you gotta trust your teammates to be able to approach the work in that kind of way. So that's the biggest sort of non-tangible thing that you can do is give people permission to fail and have that be okay. And that's expensive and tough and all those kinds of things. You know, from there, I think the thing that is maybe challenging, especially as you frame it as a WordPress agency, one of the things that I think can happen is, particularly in our sort of micro niche of WordPress agencies, is that we sort of take this idea of WordPress and all that we get from it in terms of the plugins and the community, and there's a solution out there for everything all ready to go. As a community, we can start to think of delivering WordPress websites or WordPress applications. And I think that's kind of dangerous. We're all in on WordPress. 95% of the work that we do touches WordPress in some kind of way. But I never think about it as a net new WordPress project. Like our clients come, they've got organizational problems, they've got opportunities that they want to capitalize. That's the thing that you got to build. The WordPress-ness of it is secondary. And so that means we go into projects not looking for I could put BuddyPress on this. This is a BuddyPress project. Or I could use WooCommerce plus this other plugin, and then we can make this thing and hopefully gets pretty close to our clients' goals. Like the technical solution, the approach has got to come secondary to whatever it is that client has got to achieve. And you really got to be willing to kind of spec and scope the opportunity in a sort of, I'll say like pure fashion. That sounds like kind of hokey, but you really got to like let the solution be what it needs to be. And then start looking at your toolkit and say, I can use this and I can use this, but there are all these gaps and we got to fill those gaps somehow. And that's where, you know, having really talented people comes into play that are okay building all those things, right? That's, you know, everybody on our team, super jazzed about WordPress, super excited about WordPress, but none of them think of it as a limiting factor. It's just a foundation. And then we start to build off of it and go from there.
I think that's great. And it speaks to what innovation really is all about. There's a way of working or sort of a business thinking methodology around innovation where really it's about how you are able to make the things you already do easier and quicker, right? Faster and easier, whatever it is. And I think when it comes to agency life and dealing with clients or working with clients, you've hit the nail on the head, right? Like WordPress is just a means to an end. Even in the kind of content we produce and the work that we do, we have to see WordPress not as the solution, but the means to arrive at a solution. Because the thing we're delivering is not WordPress. The thing we're delivering is the solution to the problem.
Yeah, who like has gone to a website or an application and been like, this is such a delightful WordPress experience. Like nobody cares. Like the end user like doesn't care at all. It doesn't even enter their frame of reference, nor should it, you know, and that's fine for us as craftspeople. It's important to like respect your tools and to love your tools and invest in all of that. But you go see a beautiful painting, it's not about what brush they used or what paint quality they used. It's the end artifact that actually matters. So I think not to like compare what we do to like beautiful paintings or anything like that. It's one of the traps that it's easy to fall in because there are so many solutions out of the box on WordPress, ready to go. Things I can plug and play and be done and be good. And you know, that's how we gain efficiencies and we generate profits and all that sort of stuff. And provide a high deal of value for our clients or, you know, relative to their investment as well. I don't want to say that's also sort of one of the traps of innovation is you can invest a lot of time and a lot of energy and end up with something new that isn't inherently any better. And that's that kind of innovation for innovation's sake alone doesn't really do much for the world, certainly doesn't do very much for your clients. And so really tying those sort of innovative initiatives to real practical outcomes, I think is, at least on the client side, has really got to be inherent to what you do.
Yeah, totally. The innovation for innovation's sake doesn't solve anybody's problem, right? You're not actually innovating. You're just adapting really in that way what somebody else has done. One of the things that I pick up on, and after working in tech and outside of the agency space, the thing for me that's been really neat is to see the role that the discipline of product management plays in how technology companies deliver features and deliver products, and how so much of that theory or way of thinking can be applied to agency life and help us actually deliver better results for our clients. You think about often what happens for a lot of small to medium-sized agencies, you know, they go out there, they go into a client meeting, they hear all about what the client wants, and then they go out and the client might say, I want you to build me a WordPress website that delivers this, 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 and this. And a good product manager goes, well, stop giving me the solution and tell me what the problem is, right? Tell me what it is that you're trying to do. What is the real issue here? And they're trying to peel back those layers, right, of what it is that a client is actually dealing with, and then says, okay, well, what if we delivered this outcome? How is that better for you? Well, that's exactly what we want. If you can do that, that's great. Well, maybe WordPress is the solution. Maybe it's not. But in my case, I think often it is because such a great platform to build on. But at least then you've got this alignment and this agreement around what the outcome is. And that gives you the freedom to innovate within the space of WordPress as well, right? As an agency, as somebody dealing or working with a client, you now have the opportunity to go, okay, this is an outcome that has a very clear need within this client. I wonder if there's something here that could translate to other prospective clients or other users outside of the client world. Could we deliver something for this client that solves their problem that we can then develop even further into something that's maybe less specific to that use case, but more generic as an option for a lot of users? Probably sounds a lot like the story of the event calendar, right?
Yeah.
Where it starts as a client project wanting to do events and get it on a calendar, and then all of a sudden you've got a tool that everybody loves and uses.
Yeah, it was just like that. Like a client, and then everybody loves it, and we were all done. It was great. there were some steps in the middle there. There were some ups and downs in the middle there. But yeah, I mean, that is essentially how it came about, right? We have a client has a problem. We solve it once. We have another client has a similar problem, kind of know what we're doing now. We start to refine that. And then we got to a point where we're like, well, we've got this thing. Agencies don't typically sell products. And I think it was even rarer, you know, 10 or 12 years ago, but the WordPress market was kind of in a state of change. I'll say there's sort of a theme revolution happening and a plugin revolution happening. We just happened to be there really, really early on. And there were some nice little like lucky opportunities for us to capitalize on. But that's, you know, sort of maybe the other part of the innovation story is, you know, you make these investments and these gambles. We made this investment. A client asked us to build a calendar on WordPress. That's a big gnarly thing. There wasn't anything out there. You know, we thought we could do it, but we weren't really sure. We took a shot at it and it worked out. But we didn't really get to capitalize on that innovation until this other opportunity comes along. And we've already made the investment. We've already got some of these, you know, at that point, sort of assets to play with. Then we start thinking, well, let's innovate. What could our agency be? Maybe our agency could be a product development company as well. You know, take a shot at that. So the real payoff didn't come until, you know, 2 years later for at least that part of our story.
So in the story of Modern Tribe, you've actually sold the events calendar plugin now off to another company and refined and refocused on this agency mode. What now are you doing in the space of innovation? Is that something that you're continuing more on the internal operations side? Or do you think there's another product out there in your future? How does that look?
That is certainly like the billion-dollar question, right? It's like sort of what's next. The odds of us just continuing to run the same old agency for another decade, I will say, are pretty slim, right? Like, we're restless people. Adventure is part of our core DNA. Curiosity is like one of our core team member values. So the team, I'll say, gets bored pretty quick just doing the same old thing. So there certainly are things brewing, I'll say. But even in our client work, like right now, we're working for a Fortune 50 company on a net new platform. And we've essentially just thrown out all of our typical ways of building websites, typical ways of approaching a build, to try and do something really interesting and really neat. And it was driven by the client's needs. They're looking at WordPress not just as a content management tool, but could we make it a true design tool? You know, looking at where Gutenberg is at and how far we need to push it to really start to say, well, could WordPress be a real competitor to something like Figma for a serious designer, for a serious content person? Like, could we really radically change our approach to work? I mean, I'll say it's a big gamble. If my clients are out there listening, like, don't worry, we got you. It's going to be good. But all of the 15 years of best practice and approach and stored code and reusable stuff, like we just said, not this time. Let's take a big swing at this. And I'm hoping that whatever comes of that is then going to be another one of those, like, we made this investment into an innovative approach, and what we might do with it later, I'm not sure yet, but I'm assuming it's going to be something. So there's stuff like that that's still definitely in the pipeline.
That's exciting for me. I love hearing stuff like that. A couple things that I pick up right away. Number one, as you've already mentioned, there's a high trust, high safety culture within your team. You have to be able to work with a team that you are confident is going to be able to say, yeah, we're not reusing code. We're going to do everything from scratch and try to do a new process for a new generation of WordPress and make that work. That's a big ask for any leader of their team. Really cool right off the bat. Number two, good working relationship with a client that's going to give you the space and the freedom to do that. And maybe they do know, maybe they don't know.
Yeah, no, they know. Well, they know now. No, they definitely know like what we're getting into. But it's even like, and this is WordPress, I think, is at, you know, an interesting stage in its growth too. The tools that we're looking at, obviously Gutenberg is a thing that's happening. The reframing of WordPress as, you know, sort of a headless tool, I think, is really interesting. Those two ideas competing with each other, I think, is really interesting. The friction that comes between Gutenberg and headless build approach is sort of mind-boggling to me that that's where we're at, and also sort of makes perfect sense that that's where we're at. And so, it's a good time to be taking some rest and to try things. I feel like WordPress in particular sort of at the precipice of where we were 10 years ago when suddenly the idea of a theme or a plugin was like a new novelty sort of business approach. Like we're right there again. Like it's all up in the air and there's a lot of opportunity, I'll say. There's a lot of risk there. I would be totally remiss not call out that we have just thrown buckets of money in the garbage, trying things that don't work. We've gone months and months down rabbit holes where they yielded nothing fruitful whatsoever. And, you know, we're trying to also build this culture of this phrase called you have to kill your darlings. Like you get really attached to these things you build and you've got to be willing to like toss them out and start fresh and not fall for that sort of sunk cost fallacy that comes into innovation. So it's not always pretty. It doesn't always result in wonderful things. Like there are a lot of missteps throughout that process.
McKinsey has something that they call the three horizon approach, something I learned about in my time at Envato. But it's this concept that, you know, every product company or every company sort of has their initial growth acceleration, and then they sort of hit that point where they plateau and maybe start to dip. And the horizon methodology or way of thinking is that you want to sort of anticipate when you're sort of hitting that climb and have something ready to go to take that climb up further, and then something behind that to kind of help out as well. Innovation to me, I think, in the agency world is really about anticipating that second and third horizon. So as your existing revenue sort of ramps up and you get to a place where you're doing what you're doing really well, how are you as a leadership team, how are you as leaders of your agency anticipating what comes next and preparing and systematizing your organization for what comes next? And so I really like what you say there as well about not being beholden to the ways of working or the tooling or the sunk cost that you've already have, because no matter what business you're in, but in an agency world as much as any other, you will hit a plateau. You will hit a point in your organizational life where what you've done and what you've always been doing won't yield the same results as it did at the beginning. And if you're able to accept that as a natural outcome of good work, you are able then to think about what comes next. Does that sound true or ring true to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a big fan of that sort of three horizon thinking. And the first time that I heard it for us as an org, the big revolution there was not trying to get into the mindset of thinking of that third horizon way out there on the distance. That's always been a thing that sort of comes naturally because we're just sort of nerds for the stuff at heart. We like want to imagine the future. We all grew up on watching Back to the Future and wondering when our hoverboards are going to get here. Like we're fine thinking about like, what could the internet be? What could these tools like aspire to? The thing for me in thinking about that is this idea of that sort of middle horizon being a thing that I often leap over, right? We have sort of the short term and then you have the long term thinking. And the risk is that you think it's just from there to there. But there is this whole, somebody else calls it like the messy middle. And that's the part that's, you know, if you can survive that middle chunk, that second horizon, because that's where you are maybe a little plateaued, or you start to like really see not just plateaus, but some dips in your success or some dips in your workflows, things go awry. And you got to be comfortable or confident enough to like push through that because you believe in that sort of third horizon so strongly. There's no magic to it either. Like that's really just about like institutional fortitude, right? Like how much do you believe in that you can get through all of those trying times? The other thing I think that I really appreciate how we work, and it's a thing that doesn't come naturally to me and other people in our organization are really good at it, is stepping back and giving, not only like giving yourself the permission to take some space, but like mandating regular times within the year to step back and look at your business, look at the industry, look at the market, and make that part of your practice. Right? Like I definitely fall for the like, what's up? What's on my to-do list? I'm going to execute. I'm going to work. I'm going to work, 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 work. But other people in my org will say like, great, you've been working, 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 working. Now you have to take a break. You have to step back. You have to look at the lay of the land and start asking yourselves the five whys and the, you know, the what's next. That's where the frameworks come in handy, and you can kind of go down the like spiritual journey of whatever. But if you don't give yourself the space and the calendar to do that, you're just going to keep grinding away at the same old problems, the same old day. You're going to miss all those big signs and big red flags, big flags for opportunity. So that's a thing that I think is important.
So for those who may not know, the five whys is kind of like a product management framework where you are looking at a problem, you're looking at a challenge, and you're trying to dig down to get to the real, like, first principle, that really that crux of what the actual issue is. Oftentimes we get maybe one, two levels down, and we don't dig deeper, and it's when we are able as an organization or as leaders to get to that fifth level why, where all of a sudden innovation or change or opportunity goes, oh, it's right there.
Yeah.
So it is a framework. Yeah. It is an opportunity. It's a good thing for you as agency leaders to get into the habit of doing, not just the five whys, but taking a break, taking a step back, reflecting. I know it's hard to do, especially if you're in a smaller agency or you're a freelancer or a solopreneur, to go out and actually go, you're asking me to stop working and spend time on what doesn't lead to real revenue. Maybe not today, but again, if you're thinking about your own trajectory and the reality that at some point there will be a plateau or a dip, that reflective time can be what actually gets you through that dip or through that plateau in order to burst through and get to what's next for you and your business.
Everybody's got to find their own method. And I sort of like will be cheeky about all of the sort of different frameworks and methodologies out there. I just pick one, go for it. Like it's not that they're not great. It's about doing it that actually matters, whatever framework or approach you pick. It's about actually being intentional and committing to it and following through on it. Not so much the intricacies of that particular approach. You know, we've got OKRs and KPIs and all these sorts of like different. You can fall into, just sort of like in the WordPressness, you can fall into the like mythology of that thing and miss the sort of point. It can be really simple. And for me and my two partners, this sounds ridiculous. Like I acknowledge like how ridiculous this sounds, but for us, it's about walking. And I don't mean just like taking off for an afternoon and going for a walk. We have the luxury of living very far apart. And once a year we pick some place, we go there and we literally just hike. And so we just got back from doing 60 miles over 6 days. And let me tell you, like that fifth why comes really naturally when you're 4 hours into a hike up a mountain or through a forest. Like there's nothing else to talk about. There's nothing else to do. There's no email. There's no phones. There's no kids. There's none of that. There's just this like, we got 8 hours, 10 hours today in front of us. And all we're going to do is start asking questions and ask hard questions and kind of go through that journey together. And it's, you know, that's the thing that works for us. It's not going to work for everybody, but that's been some of our secret sauce over the last 10 years for sure.
Well, considering you're 14 years into your agency journey, and there are a lot of people who are maybe getting started on their journey, if you could give people a few tips or a few thoughts and ideas on how to make innovation a discipline and a practice within their agency, what would that be?
Oh, man. You know, it's certainly, I think all of it comes down to a willingness to take some risks, a willingness to look foolish, a willingness to, you know, actually like stand up and take a swing with your ideas. I worry in particular about some spaces in the WordPress community where, you know, the ideas are out there and people maybe not comfortable surfacing them or having a channel to surface them. So, you know, it's really, you're going to have to overcome a lot of that. And I'll say like innovation, like the ability to innovate and take some risks and things like that is rooted in privilege, right? Like I am a white dude in this world and I look the part. And when I stand up in a room and say, no, throw that away, do this. Like I'm doing so from a position where I have a lot of advantages cooked into that experience right there. And, you know, I want to say that it would be easy for me to say like, yeah, everybody stand up, take that shot. Risk it all, go for it, blah, blah, blah. But like, that's not like the way the world works for everybody. You know, the other folks are going to have a steeper climb. And a tip, I guess, for anybody like who is maybe like me or is in that sort of privileged position, looking at the people around you, that's where like giving them the opportunity to fail, listening to other voices, giving other people a microphone or an opportunity to share their thoughts, not overinvesting in what you think, you know, or who you think your team might be or who the people might be. Like, I'm always astounded and proud of the ideas that come out of everybody on our team, regardless of their seniority or their background or any of those things. And, you know, that doesn't come if people crap on each other, if people gatekeep conversations and things like that. So, you know, this is a roundabout answer and I sort of stumbled backwards into a conversation about equity, but it's really, really big. It's really, really important. And as you build your business, like, take every advantage you can, give every opportunity to your team to be able to like help you do that. That's the one tip I got. Hire smart people, let them be smart.
Hire smart people, let them be smart. That'll be the quote for the episode right there. Oh, wow. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Reed, for being here and hanging out. It's been awesome to chat with you a little bit.
Yeah, happy to be here. Good luck, everybody.
Awesome. Well, after talking with Reed, it's easy to feel a sense of optimism and confidence about the idea of innovation. Innovation is something that you have to, as an agency leader, as an agency owner, be intentional about creating space for. It's not something that you can just say, you know what, today's going to be innovation day, we're going to do innovation and it's going to happen. It really is something that you have to systematize and prepare for and plan for. And I was really surprised to hear that even within an agency like Modern Tribe, they actually have an innovation fund. So they are actively, proactively investing in innovation, even if they don't have an idea or something that they are specifically working on. I thought that was something really special and magical and maybe something for us as agency leaders to think about when it comes to our own approach to innovation, that maybe the first step is just investing in the concept of innovation, whether we have an idea or not. And then when that idea does come, we're actually able to take that step back and be able to work on the project that we've been thinking about, because we've created that runway for that within the context of our finances, right? We've basically paid into that innovation fund for just such a time as this, when it comes up, when that new idea rears its head and you're able to actually act on it. So something for you to think about. I'm curious to hear your thoughts as well about innovation. There's a couple of things that Reed said that were really spot on, talking about equity and the role that our privilege plays in our ability to think about innovation and prepare for that is something that's really valuable as a conversation for all of us to be having. Love to hear your thoughts on that as well, as well as what Reed talked about when it comes to things like the team dynamic and creating a safe space to fail, and how not succeeding isn't failure in the sense of you failed, you're out, but how we create opportunities for failure in order to innovate or find that one idea that will become the big next idea for us. I thought it was really neat as well when he talked about the concept of not being stuck in the ways of doing things or the systems that you have or the code that you've already invested in, being willing to give those up to try something new, to do something new. That's hard for me because I like routine, I like systems, and I like having ways of working that work and are predictable, and I can calculate my return on a project or something because I've developed and invested all that time already into certain ways of doing things. To throw all of that out, gives me a bit of a heart palpitation, but there is something to that. So anyway, I'm curious to hear your thoughts about that. So please go ahead, leave a comment, let me know what you think. If you like this video and you like what we're talking about, please consider giving it a thumbs up and also subscribing. We'd love to have you on this journey with us. Well, that's it for me, and that's it for this episode of Input. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.